The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's from James chapter 5. And with that, we welcome you to this week of Exploring the Word. This is Alex McFarland, along with Bert Harper, the American Family Radio Network. And we're going through the New Testament book of James. We're looking for the gospel, the good news of the Savior in the book of James. And so we invite you to listen along. Later on the show, we'll get your Bible questions. And so it's a great day. Bert, welcome. And it's an exciting time to be on the radio looking at the eternal, timeless Word of God, isn't it?
It is. And I'm telling you, it's a privilege that you and I just have here Monday through Friday. And going through the thread of redemption has really been a blessing. And coming to James, which is more practical in its writing than it is doctrinal, but yet in this you see so much that Jesus taught, especially like the Sermon on the Mount, and how it is amplified here in the book of James. And so the redemption is not only salvation, but also this redemption is sanctification, Alex. I found that to be interesting in the book of James.
Well, amen. And you know, James, I love James. It's brief. There's just five chapters. I mean, this is one of those books, if you sat down, you could easily read it in a half hour. But it talks, Bert, among other wonderful things, but it talks about patience. And in chapter 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," different temptations, struggles, stresses, "knowing this first, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing," or some translations will say wanting nothing. Let me insert a word here about that. Could we do that for a minute?
Go right ahead, man.
Listen to this, folks. If you're a pastor, and I know we have a lot of pastors that listen, or if you're a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader, we're so blessed to have a lot of folks in the audience that are serving the Lord. And Bert, every now and then I'll talk to a young man who's discouraged. Because, you know, there was a day, if some of you know the history of, like, Liberty University, Dr. Jerry Falwell started Thomas Road Baptist, and on the one-year anniversary, they had about 850 people. And then I read about Adrian Rogers, who was at Bellevue for many, many years and just had thousands of people. And that's great, and praise God for that. But, Bert, I talk with many a downcast pastor who, like, over the weekend, since I left you on Friday, I have been in two different churches. And one pastor was kind of blue, and he said, "Hey, Alex, I apologize, but the crowd is down. When Memorial Day hits, this place does a vanishing act." All right. Now, Bert, let me say this, and I want you to translate. If you coached Peyton Manning at 24, that wouldn't be too hard. But if you coached Peyton Manning at 65, that would be hard, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
If you coached Brett Favre when he was in his prime at, you know, 26, 27, that wouldn't be near as hard. You might put more numbers on the board than if you coached, you know, an athlete when he's 70 with all kinds of ailments.
Except for Brett Favre. He was thinking about making a comeback there. No,
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's different. What? Alex, that is a good point. And you're helping these men and women that are serving in churches, Sunday school classes, ministry. And one of the greatest tools Satan has, and I want you to continue where you're at, don't forget, is comparing yourself to someone else.
Now, that's true.
Satan will do that trick on you. God's got his path laid out for you, and it may not be as elaborate as some others or gloriously looking, but I remember something W.A. Criswell said, who is the pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas. He's in a conference, and it was at a church here in Mississippi, and he said, "You think you've got your problems? If you've got 100 people, that means you've got 100 problems." He said, at this point in time, I think it was 20,000 members they had at Dallas. He said,
wow.
Just remember, it's multiplied when you got 20,000. And so, you know, sometimes the numbers are not quite as gloriously wonderful as we might think.
Yeah. You know, the great Adrian Rogers, I've heard him say this on the radio, and of course he went to be with the Lord good many years ago, but he's still on and he's phenomenal. But he said, live your life for an audience of one. And whenever he would say that, he would point upward, live your life for Jesus. Now, here's the thing, you know, Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, D. James Kennedy, Dr. Dobson, you know, who started in 77, the same year as Dr. Wildman started AFA. I mean, you know, Billy Graham and all those guys, I mean, they worked hard. They really did. But they inherited an America that was at the peak of her Christianity. You and I today are ministering in an America where, let me just say, the patient almost has a terminal illness. Mm. And dear pastor, who is burdened that you have 300 on the roll and you ran about 120 yesterday. Listen, proportionately, if you're walking with the Lord, you're saying your prayers, you're serving to the best of your abilities with a pure heart, you with 120 proportionately might be every bit as fruitful as, you know, W.A. Criswell with 10,000 in 1960. And so that was my analogy. And James is talking about being patient, keeping your eyes on the Lord, leaning on God for wisdom. Chapter 1:12 says, blessed is the one who endures temptation. Looking at the context in which we minister, that's why I'm saying, Bert, it wouldn't be too hard to coach Peyton Manning at 24. But if you were coaching a Peyton Manning at 65, you know, you'd be lucky even to get through a few innings or a few quarters. You know what I mean?
That's right. And so we're encouraging you. America is at a tough time. I parallel it to the book of Acts. Alex, I think I've made this, comment on the radio before. If you look at the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you'll find Peter preaching. And guess what? When he preaches, thousands come to Christ.
Yeah.
Then the latter part is the book of Acts with Paul preaching. And he would go to a synagogue where maybe there's 100 people there, and there'd be some that would believe, some would not, and some would say, we'll hear more about it. Yeah. And so what was the difference? Well, it was the world. In chapter, the first few chapters of the book of Acts, we have Peter preaching to a ready-made audience. These were the Jews who believed there was one God, many of them waiting on the Messiah to come. He said the Messiah has come. It is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit would convict and they'd believe. Paul was preaching to a byron world, what we would call. It was a religious world, but it was more secular in its thinking than it was Christian at all, or Judeo-Christian in any way. And he had to convince them first there was a God, and that God was not one of many gods. It was just one God, and that one God had made himself known through Jesus Christ. And the world we're living in today is more comparable to the latter part of the book of Acts than the first part. It's not a ready-made audience, is it?
No, that is a wonderful point, Bert. I mean, really. And you know what? Here's the thing, all right? If you read Acts chapter 17 and Paul goes to Mars Hill, and some said, we'll listen a little bit more, and others said, you know, what is this babbler saying? It's almost like the Paul of Acts 17 would be like the Christian witness at Times Square in New York. I mean, some might listen, but right many would probably ignore you. But we today, we are so thankful for Paul and his faithfulness. Here's the deal. Should the Lord tarry, and should the end of time not come for a long, long time, and we don't know when, we need to be faithful at our post. Christian mom, soccer mom, your faithfulness is imperative. Dear pastor, rural, urban, wherever you might be, you staying at your post, being faithful, is really, really critical. And we might not see the fruits of it this side of heaven. We may not. But Bert, I believe that we're here today as a link in the chain because there was the faithfulness of Peter. There was the faithfulness of Paul. There was James writing to us here about patience and trusting God through temptation. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but whether Christ comes back in very near proximity or if it's centuries from now, we got to be faithful today because God knows what the details are, and we just need to stand strong for Him.
Amen. And remember, you read verse 12, for those that endure these times of difficulty and temptation, they'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him.
Amen.
God notices that, and He is moved with compassion on people that are going through difficult times. And speaking of that, when you're going through difficult times, you want to understand that your religion needs to be pure religion, not just any religion. And that's the reason I think chapter 1, verse 27 is redemptive. And it says this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Alex, what you have here is James letting them know, he's probably writing to Jewish believers, because in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, to those 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, referring to Jews. But he's letting them know, if Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of your life, then the religion you have is not based upon man's orders or man's gimmicks. It's related to a relationship with Jesus Christ that causes us to have a relationship that is redemptive toward those that are the most in difficult circumstance. In that day, the groups of people that had it rougher, that were in difficult circumstance, that they found themselves that, were orphans and widows. And it says those that you're ministering to are very important. In our day, I would say, I know we need to minister to orphans and widows. You're not hearing me say that. But I believe in that day, they were the ones that were the most discriminated against, the most in the most difficulty. In our day, it's the unborn. The unborn, that seems, has no rights. After that child has been conceived, many don't even consider it human, and those that consider it human, they don't care. And so, you know, pure religion really does care for those that are hurting the most.
Well, you know, I've read variations on this thought that character is the way you treat those that can't do anything for you. And, you know, widows and orphans in that day, they couldn't do anything for you. And, you know, the Bible tells us not to be a respecter of persons, but to be impartial. I love that there at the book of James, chapter 1, 27, to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that we can fully keep ourselves out of this world. And some have tried to just withdraw and cloister away, and we're to be salt and light. We're in this world, but we're not to let the world be in us.
Does that not make you think of Romans 12, 1? Don't be conformed, but be transformed. It's a little different terminology, but same thought, isn't it?
Well, it also reminds me of Philippians 2:15 that says we're to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, holding forth the word of life.
Yes. And so we're looking again, we're about to go to a break, James, and looking at the redemptive thread of redemption. And I want to introduce chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality.
That's right.
God, man, isn't it something? He had time for sinners. He had times for the tax collectors. But he also had time for those that were rich. That's the kind of God we serve. We'll be back with more right after the break.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345. And our website is afafoundation.net.
God promises the power to be overcomers, but Dr. Tony Evans says that doesn't mean there's no pain in the process. He'll give us a strategy for dealing with that discomfort today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I've lost about 45 pounds, and the main thing I do is the treadmill. I will admit to you, that's not something like I look forward to doing, but I do want to get healthier, and I do want to lose some weight. The problem is, on that treadmill, I sweat. On that treadmill, I'm huffing and puffing. I'm struggling on this treadmill. It's a struggle. So what I always do to mitigate the struggle is I turn on the news. That news does not take away the sweat. It distracts me. And I discover I can go longer when I'm focusing on that than when I'm focusing on this. I got to do this, but I try not to make this my focus. I try to make that my focus, because when I make that my focus, it affects how well I do this. If you really want to overcome bad enough, then Jesus says you got to do this. But the way you do this is by focusing on that. You're looking at me and you're saying, okay, Jesus, I thank you. You've already overcome my emotions. You've already overcome my circumstance. You've already overcome my pain. I'm sweating and I'm tired, but I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you glory, because I'm going to focus on the news of heaven during my struggle on earth.
Learn to master the disciplines spiritual overcomers have discovered. Check out Tony's CD series, The Jesus Challenge, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
We're glad you're with us, and we're glad that you're listening today. And Alex, you know, here at AFR, we can wear watches around our wrist, although a lot of times because of cell phones, a lot of us are not wearing those. But there's something else you can wear on your wrist these days that would look mighty good, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. I want to tell you what's on my wrist, but first I want to tell you about a website, afa.net/trustgod. It is a beautiful website. You know, I don't know that I've ever said this before. This website is just pretty. This is a beautiful website. You ought to go there, afa.net/trustgod. And Bert, I've been wearing my AFA 40th anniversary wristband. And it's red, white, and blue. It says, trust God. In God we trust. In God we trust. It's a great conversation starter. It's a witnessing tool. And if you go to this really, really beautiful website, you can get one to celebrate the 40th anniversary, 4 decades of the American Family Association. Plus, you can get some to give out, and you can use it as a witnessing tool.
That's right. The first one is free. You can get one free, but then we suggest that you order more. And 40 is a good number since it's their 40th year. And again, that place you go is afa.net/trustgod. afa.net/trustgod. We hope you will wear them and share them. Alex, as we come again in the book of James and looking at the thread of redemption, I praise God it's with impartiality. Something I remember as a child hearing some preachers say, when I say a child, from about 11 years old on up, period of time, I hear preachers say, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Now, mm-hmm. what they were talking about was God's impartiality. He wants everybody. He wants everybody. Not if you're down and out or up and in. He wants everybody to come to know him. And here, chapter 2, and again, we're looking at the redemptive thread. It is for everybody. And James says it, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. And I think it's important that we mention that most people agree that the writer of the book of James was the half-brother of Jesus, who was the senior pastor of Jerusalem church, and he's saying, no partiality here. I think that's important, brother.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you mentioned Romans, and in Romans chapter 2, it says there is no partiality with God. But listen to this. It says in the Bible that God is not partial. It says in 2 Chronicles, God has no part in unrighteousness, nor partiality, nor the taking of a bribe. Now, the good news is God is impartial, and if you'll turn to him, he will save you, he will bless you. The reality is you can't leverage God. You can't bargain with God. God doesn't take a bribe, says 2 Chronicles 19. He's a holy God. Now, most people, they say most people can be bought. Every man has his price. I don't know that that's really true. I know some men of integrity that I think are men and women without price. But we know God. God is righteous and is impartial. And if you'll turn to Jesus, he will impartially, liberally, abundantly pour his grace and blessing and forgiveness on you.
Amen. The next thing that we need to move to is the faith. The redemptive thread of redemption is because the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. And here in chapter 2, verses 14 and following, it talks about the kind of faith it is. And it says faith without works is dead, been alone. But the one that gets me more is verse 19, when it says, you yes. believe that there is one God, you do well. Now listen to this next line, Alex. Even the demons believe that and tremble. In other yeah. words, belief in the knowledge, just knowing the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that there is one God and he expressed through Christ, that's not faith, that's a knowledge, isn't it?
That's right. Let me say it, and we've kind of parsed this out on a number of shows, James 2, verse 19. Belief that God exists is not enough to go to heaven. Frequently, we hear in the media, they talk about the three great Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And often when you hear that in the news, the implication is that, you know, well, they're all the same. As long as you believe in some ultimate God, that must be okay. But that's not it. That's not it at all. The Bible is very clear. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was only Jesus that rose from the dead. And so in James 2:19, you know, we're picking out the Gospels in every book. I mean, the Gospel. Well, James 2:19 would be a good jumping off point because, you know, we've said this before. But, Bert, if I said, okay, here's a doctrinal statement. God exists. God is the creator. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus rose from the dead. You know who knows that? The devil knows that. The devil has a pretty good doctrinal statement. So it's not enough just in your mind to acknowledge that there must be a God or even that Jesus was the Son of God. What it is intimacy, relationship, connectedness. And you get down to like Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not just acknowledgement that, but belief in. There's a difference, isn't there?
There is. And we're asking you to trust Jesus Christ with your life. It's lordship. There's a big discussion. Lordship, salvation. He is Lord. So receiving him is receiving him as he is. You can't receive him what he's not, and he is Lord. And so when he comes in as he is. And so we're asking you to trust Jesus Christ, give him your all, and follow him. If you need someone to talk to, there's a number, 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and there's people there that will help you, lead you through, and bring you to the place where you can know for certain what Jesus Christ has done for you, and you can ask Him, and you can surrender your life to Him as Lord. Alex, one more, and you may have more than this, but you read it, and I didn't want to skip over it. Over in chapter 5, about the coming of the Lord, James, I'll read it again. I want to start reading in verse 7, 8, and following, all the way through 10, and you'll see a word that is repeated. And you know me, I'm looking for those repeated words.
That's right.
And it's patient or patience, but listen. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. The Lord hasn't come back yet, but that doesn't mean He's not standing at the door ready to come, does it?
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, we're in James chapter 5, and back at verse 3, it says, you know, your gold and your silver is corrupted, cankered. You've heaped up treasures for the last days. If the context of James was in the last days, quote unquote, and, you know, this is written 2,000 years ago, maybe, well, it had to be before the mid-60s, because Josephus tells us James was martyred around 62. So this is pre-62. If that was the last days, and the Word of God is saying, look, don't just be materialistic with everything you can squirrel away down here, because, you know, it's only moth and rust and corruption for the last days. If that were the last days, and here we are in 2017, I guess we're even farther into the last days, near the return of Christ, aren't we?
We are. And it says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. In other words, He is ready, and He is ready to come at any time. And I love what James does. You can tell he's kind of a take-charge guy. He's, like I said earlier, he's one of the pillars in the church. There in Jerusalem, I believe if he had a word, he and Peter may have been co-pastors there. It seems like both of them had a lot of control and power. But notice what he says, my brethren, in verse 10. He brings himself, he's talking about partiality. God has no partiality. He brings himself to encourage them, challenge them, and then my brethren. Although he's in a position of power, in a position of authority, although he's the half-brother of Jesus and pastor of a significant church, here he really is going after them. It says, my brethren, you know, be patient. And it's all about Jesus as an example of suffering and patience. I find that compassionate on his part. Now, I know the book of James is filled with commands, but in those commands, you see his humility and his care. And you were talking about pastors and leaders. This is an example, in my opinion, of good preaching that, yes, lays it out on the line, doesn't turn left or right, but he does it with humility and he does it with care and love, doesn't he?
He does. And you know, we've said this a lot of times. The right thing to do is rarely a mystery. Now, I know we live pretty complicated lives, and there's all this technology, and sometimes life's hard enough, and then you got to figure out how to set the clock on the microwave, which is something I've never actually learned how to do very well. But the important things in life are the simple things, really. Putting God first. Verse 9 of James 5, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Bert, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail too much here, but this is simple, this is basic, and look, we know the right thing to do, folks, we do, and if we're going to see the presence of God in our midst, if we're going to see the favor of God in our churches and in our home, one of the important things, don't be grumbling against each other, don't grudge against one another, and it basically is saying, remember, God is watching.
Amen. Alex, you come over to the end of the book of James. You have those that are praying for illnesses and for healing from those illnesses, and talking about the prayer of faith, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. But verses 19 and 20, I really wanted, if we had time, I wanted to, and we do have time. Notice it says brethren again. He is bringing them in. He's sharing with them. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Again, what we're looking at is the redemptive thread of the Bible, all through the thread of redemption. Alex, verses 19 and 20 is as plain as redemption as you can get. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, praise the Lord. What a redemptive act of God, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. It's God that does the saving, but we need to be able to let God work through us. You know, we're like D.L. Moody would often say, you know, he's just the messenger boy. You know, God is the Savior, but we are the messengers. And oftentimes, you know, we're kind of that wake-up call that somebody nearby needs to hear.
It is. And we need to be mindful. I know this, and I'm just suggesting this. If you're in a church or a small group, and you see someone that's fallen away, they're not coming anymore, be one of those people that's concerned and ask them and encourage them, go after them. Don't let them say, well, they know where we are. They can come if they want to. Mm. No, be that person that is wanting to get them and turn them. It makes me think of Galatians 6:1 about if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Yeah. And in that place, it was like a bone being broken and resetting the bone, you know, yeah, so it would grow straight.
That's right. I'm not saying be a pest for Jesus. We're not to be, you know, kind of a bother people, really, but we are to be persistent. And I mean, really, I've seen people come back to the Lord through persistence. Just that smile, that little reminder. We don't know what people are going through, but you're right, Bert. Not just say, hey, they know where to find us if they want to, but be willing to reach out, because, you know, we're made for relationships. I mean, the gospel is shared. Ministry happens in the context of relationships, and use those relationships to be a witness and a force for Jesus.
And that relationship that means more than any is that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Alex, people, we say it all the time, so here we're going to say it again. We're not talking about religion. We are talking about a relationship. And we've had people call, to get us through word@afr.net. And by the way, if you don't want to call but you got a question, go to word@afr.net. Alex and I look at those, and then we bring them on programs at certain times, and we go through the process of trying to answer the ones that we can, that are not so personal that we can. And so if you have a question, we'd love for you to do that. But one of those that we hear quite often is about what in the world is this relationship you have that you're talking about. We're not talking about knowledge. We're talking about knowing Him and Him coming into our lives by faith. And it's hard to put into words. Alex and I admit that. Jesus Christ comes into our life in the person of the Holy Spirit. He changes our life. He sets us free, and we know God. So we're asking you to do that, and we hope if you haven't, you will. Well, Alex, that number, if people want to call, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Caroline, our sermon intern, is waiting to call for you, and she'll Amen. Forward you on, and she'll let us know what the question's about. And we look forward to hearing from you and answering those questions. And again, if you don't want to call, you can go to word@afr.net, and you can put your question there, and we'll do our best to answer it. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert, here on the American Family Radio.
Do you have a GPS? Almost everybody in our culture now has one of those wonderful devices that says, when possible, make a legal U-turn. Turn around. You're on the wrong road. Repentance is the means by which God gets me to recognize I'm on the wrong road. I need to turn. It's behavioral. It's a grace work of God in our life. I think for 25 years we've been repenting for the world, identificational repentance. But it's only when the church repents. It's when you and I turn behaviorally, evidencing our obedience to God, that the world sees our brokenness and our hunger to follow Him. I'm asking you, will you make a U-turn? This is Doug Small with Project Pray for OneCry.com.
David Butts of Harvest Prayer Ministries challenges us to see prayer as a gracious gift from God.
Show us, Lord, how to pray with greater effectiveness. Lord, help us to understand more of your heart in our city, in our churches, in our nation, literally around the globe.
The Gift of Prayer is a powerful new DVD that teaches us the importance of prayer. It's a great resource for your church or family. Available for purchase or download from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Life, Love, and Family, featuring the American Association of Christian Counselors President, Dr. Tim Clinton. Each weekday evening, you'll hear Dr. Clinton and his expert guests address important and sometimes difficult issues of our day that impact your life, your love, and your family, using the scriptures as their text. Access to archive programs is available at lifeloveandfamily.net. Life, Love, and Family, 11 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
You're listening to a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association based in Fremont, Michigan. I'm Bill Johnson. What we watch does impact. David R. Maines, then a radio broadcaster with a Chapel of the Air, shared this account years ago. It goes something like this. When David Maines would walk to his ministry headquarters in downtown Chicago, a young man who walked with him asked, "David, I see every time we walk by the adult bookstore arcade, you look the other way. Why do you do that?" David's answer, quoting, "I've learned not to give ground to Satan. Not allowing pornography into my eyes keeps my thought life free from Satan's jaded influence," unquote. David's words helped me. I hope it will help you too. Pure religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Let His Word be your strength and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold tight. Hold on to the promises.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. That number, we got a line or two open, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Mm-hmm. And we have Walter, who's on the line from Oklahoma City. Walter, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks, sir. My question is, I've been hearing that the hearts of the Jewish establishment was hardened by God against Jesus Christ because He wanted them to, wanted Jesus to reach the Gentiles, and that was His plan. And I just wanted some, you know, some advice on that, because it's been said that if they hearts were not hardened, that they would have kept the good news to themselves because they felt that they were better than the other people because they were God's chosen people and would have not have allowed Jesus to share the message.
Okay, Walter, thank you. Good question. Alex, let's talk first about in place of why or ought. When the hardening of a nation or a person's heart, when I look at it in Scripture and I look at interchangeable, it does say that, but seems like a hardening had already started by the individual. Now, you may see that different than me, but But God takes all those things, regardless of what they are. That's what it says in Romans 8:28. God's able to take the things that we do and work it for good. And so I believe what he's been taught, God used that to make Paul an apostle to the Gentiles, and then the gospel spread through that Asia Minor there, and especially the European continent, didn't it?
Yeah, You know, let me say this. I think it's important when you have the challenging passages of Scripture to look at all of Scripture. And regarding the gospel and salvation, we clearly see it says, whosoever will may come. You know, whoever seeks will search and will find when they search with all their heart. That's Jeremiah 29:13. And many verses we could give about whoever believes in him, John 3:16. If you read Romans 9-11, it's interesting. In Romans 9:18, it says, therefore God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And it goes on, and it's talking about the children of promise, the Jewish people that are the seed of Abraham, but really to truly be a seed of Abraham, you've got to be born again through Jesus. But it says this in verse 22 of Romans 9, and Bert, I want your thoughts on this too. Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So, Bert, I think one of the key things to acknowledge is, it says, what if God did this? Could God, if he wanted to, he could. I don't believe that some are foreordained, decreed by God to go to hell. Now, people go to hell when they reject Jesus and they ignore the light they've been given. I honestly believe, Bert, from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, to 2017, I believe, in my reading of the entire panorama of Scripture, whoever wants to find God can do that. And so it's not saying that God hardened them purposely to condemn them without any recourse or hope, but it says, what if, to make his power known? Because what was a mind-boggling thing to all of them was that the Gentiles could be saved. And his power and his mercy is displayed in the gospel, where not only the Jews could be saved, but even the Gentiles also.
I agree with you, and again, I see it the same way, Alex. And Walter, thank you for your good question. We appreciate you, man. Let's go to Texas and talk to Gary. Gary, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thank you very much, and I appreciate your program immensely. I discovered if we take time to look inside our Savior's name, Jesus Christ, and we put his name in a straight line going down, and we go back and we put a word to each letter of his name, the message found in his name is justifying every day's Savior unto sinners, J-E-S-U-S, certifies heaven's redemption in salvation today. So his name tells us what he came to do and the purpose of his life and the reason for us to believe in him.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Gary. Jesus Christ, he loves you. Mm. Wherever you're listening, he loves you. He loves you so much that he would come and obey the Father, even unto death, and give himself a ransom for those that are lost in this world. And Gary, amen, Jesus. There's no other name given by men, among men, whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Alex, there is something about that name, isn't there?
Amen. That's a good acronym there, Jesus, Saving Sinners. You know, Iris Sankey, who was the soloist for D.L. Moody, he had a little pump organ that was portable, and he, you know, pumped it with his foot and sang. And the lid, when they would open the wooden lid, they had the word gospel. And they had made an acronym out of John 3:16, God so loved the world. And sometimes it helps us remember stuff, Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, you know?
Yeah.
And so good one, caller. Thank you for listening, and thank you for that word.
Amen. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Randy. Randy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing good.
I've been a listener for approximately 7 years.
Wow.
Hey, you were listening before I was on then, Randy. Amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I was. Yeah. I remember when you first got on the show.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your faithfulness, my friend.
y'all, your ministry means the world to me. The whole ministry of AFR, I really appreciate it. It helped me turn my life around.
Amen, Randy. Thank you. That does us more good than anything you'll ever know. I mean,
hey,
that's
Randy,
why we
listen,
do what we do.
I know you got a question or comment, but if you can give Brent Creeley your address, and Brent will get that to me, we just want to send you a book and tell you thank you, and just we really, really appreciate you, my friend. So if we get your address, we want to just send something to you, brother.
Yes, sir. That would be great. My question is, I surrendered to the ministry approximately 5 years ago, and I've been serving in a church, and I've been doing some pulpit work, and I've been teaching Sunday school. But I've been in this church for almost 4 years, and the truth of the matter is I just don't feel the Spirit anymore there. Is it possible that God's telling me to move on?
Randy, thank you. And don't you hang up, because Caroline wants to talk to you and get your address. Randy? Okay. Randy, I really believe with all my heart that God leads us alone. He not leaves us, but leads, L-E-A-D-S, leads us alone. And if he can move a pastor, no matter how that denomination moves their pastors, a church calls them, or a bishop or a committee places them in certain areas, or the elders call someone. If he does that for pastors, I really do believe that God does that with individuals as well. And, you know, I've made this statement, although I stayed at one church 28 years, never dig your roots so deep that when God tells you to move, that it uproots you completely. It just tears you up. So, Randy, with all my heart, I do believe that God could be leading you away. Search the Scriptures. I know this. When every time I've made a big move, what I would call vocationally or something like that, I would dig into God's Word, and God would reveal. The last big move I made, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning with a verse of Scripture on my mind. I went and read it and read it and reread it, and God affirmed, yes, this is where you're to do. This is when you're to do it. And now I woke up my wife, and Jan, I shared it with her, and she says, that is amazing. It is clear. So, Randy, yes, I believe that God does move us alone. Alex, were you on long enough to get Randy's question?
You know, I wasn't. Oddly enough, the building I was in had a power outage for a minute, but yeah. What was that question?
Well, he was talking about, can God, even a member like he is a church where he's invested part of his life, lead him to leave and go somewhere else?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you just never know how God is going to use you. One thing I'm convinced of, if you're you're living a holy life, walking with the Lord, serving, you know, faithful with what he's given you today, he'll lead you. He will. Might be where you got saved and where you've been serving. I've known people that pastored the church where they were born. I've known people that served for a time and God moved them and used them mightily somewhere else. But, Bert, I'm convinced of this. If you're walking with the Lord, and your heart, you're truly seeking him, he will lead you and guide you, won't he?
He will. And, Randy, we're confident of that. And we want you to stay online, and we want to get you addressed so Alex can send you that. Randy, thank you for listening. 7 years, brother. We appreciate it. Hang in there.
That's probably we might have a few that have been there from day one. And if you are, call us sometime. We'd sure love to hear from you. 888-589-8840.
Amen. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Brother Bert, Brother Alex, how y'all doing?
Man, doing good. It's good on a Monday.
Yes, it is. I just got a comment about, you know, what you're talking about in James right there, where it says if you lead one back to Christ, you know, he's done that redemptive work. And I just want to praise God for nagging mother-in-law, because if it wasn't for her nagging me to come back, I would have never stepped foot back into another church. And then I rededicated my life and I'm preaching the gospel of Christ now. I've been ordained for a little over a year now, and been preaching for about 8. So I just give God the glory for nagging my mother-in-law.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Mike, you've last two calls of all of them's been good. Those last two have really, I think, blessed a lot of people, and we thank God for what he's done. Alex, you know, nagging, you know, I know that's a little negative. It's nagging when we're hearing it. After we've heard it, it's a blessing, isn't it?
Exactly. You know what? I kind of said, you know, we don't want to be a pest for Jesus, but we do. Be a pest. I mean, you know, in a sweet, loving, prayerful way. But we're talking about the souls of people. I mean, we're talking about where somebody's going to spend eternity. And, you know, I guess, you know, pray a lot. Speak a word when you have an opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, I'm here today. Thank the Lord. Number one was Angie that would not date me till I would go to church. And then even then, I went to church. I got saved. It was a year at least, really, before we started seeing each other. But Angie and her mom, who would one day become my mother-in-law, and my sister basically badgered me, hounded me, worried me to death to get in church. Thank God that I'm here today because of some people that loved me enough, cared enough about my soul to urge me to get in church.
Amen. Since we're here and we do have some time, I just want to say my mother-in-law, Jeanette McBrayer, was one of my Sunday school teachers as a young person. And what a difference she's made in my life and still making it today, still praying and seeking the Lord. She's not able to go to church anymore, but she listens and prays, and just what a ministry. And so, and I wanted to go back to what Randy said about changing ministries. Alex, one of the things, and I want to say this, a lot of times as age creeps up on individuals, some of those people, they're not able to teach Sunday school anymore. They're unable to do the things that they once did. But God's got them here, and they're a testimony, and they're to stay faithful as long as they can. And what do you know anything that's more important than a real prayer ministry and a prayer warrior in a church? Do you know anything that's more important than that?
I really don't. I really don't. Spurgeon said, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power.
And all of you who are out there, and you know, you're dependent upon the radio and different things because you're unable to attend church anymore. You just can't make it. And you may be in bed. You may be at a care facility. But I want to tell you, pray. Seek the Lord. Touch the hem of his garment through prayer. And ask God, if you don't know who to pray for. Alex, I got two that they really need to pray for. One's Bert and the other one's Alex. Isn't that right?
That's right. You know what? Faithfulness means so much. There's a church in Colorado that my wife and I were members of. And we first set foot in that church 14 years ago. And there's an older gentleman who is an usher. And he hands out the bulletins and he helps take up the collection. And I was there recently. And the very same man handing out the bulletin with a smile on his face. And I told him, I said, you know what? Your testimony is so good. I said, when did you come to Vista Grande Baptist Church? And Bert, I think it was like in the late 60s. So we're talking, you know, 45, 50 years. And, you know, if I come there in 5 years, assuming that he hasn't passed on, I guarantee he'll still be there smiling and greeting people. And whatever you're doing, be faithful at it. It means a whole lot more than you may even realize.
Amen. Again, we remind you, you can get the wristbands in God We Trust. Go to afa.net/trustgod and order, get your free one, and then order more. 40 would be great for our 40th anniversary here at the American Family Association. Alex, it's been good. I think First Peter right after James?
First and Second Peter, and so you don't want to miss it, folks. We're gonna get into it, and Bert, I'm going to cue it up this way. We tell everybody, you know, let somebody know about exploring the Word, but what else should we tell people?
Let everybody know about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.